As you all know,
that you're just keeping, you know, Pastor and Ms. Garcia, Ms. Sandy, Ms. Jane, Gary, others, their recovery, right? And they can be back with us here, some of them on Wednesday and, of course, next Sunday. To go first, Brother Patrick, come on up. And then we'll have, of course, the Pedersen. We'll sing a hymn after Brother Patrick, and then I'll have you guys come up after that as well. So, brother, come on. Well,
I'm retired.
You are retired. So, yeah,
It is. It's different. Anyhow, what a pleasure and an honor that I can give my testimony. Yes. You know, he was messaged by Brother John this morning. About that guy from Gadara, me, for different than me. The Lord Jesus Christ happened to me. I was raised a Mormon all my life. Mormonism, hook, line, and sinker, I never did. I was always in trouble with my dad. I was cowboying on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Anybody familiar with that area? About a mile from Canada. Checking for cattle that we were short on the count, trying to find them, or just whatever. That night, there was a storm coming, and I'm glad I got in when I did. Because that barn, and I pulled the wood off his back, brushed him down, gave him some oats. And I'm going to head. And my wife was right there to greet me. She goes, "We got to talk." I said, "Oh, pretty serious?" She goes, "Yes, it is." Even. I said, "What do you mean we're leaving?" She says, "Me and the kids, we're leaving. We're leaving. I've already, if you want to stay, you stay. But we're leaving. I've already made up you're going." She goes, "We're going to go to Helena, Montana. She has an uncle there on my feet until I can. And she's made arrangements so we can be in their house and place." I said, "Well, what about my horse? Where am I going to put my horse, you know?" So the next day, payday's coming up in, I think, a couple weeks or so. I says, "That's, and would it be okay if I just kept my horse up here? I'll come back and get him later, you know. I got to find a..." So we moved to Helena, and we got Section 8 housing. I'm outside, I'm having a cup of coffee, and I'm having a cigarette. Closer look, they ain't wearing no badges. They're older than Mormon missionaries. I wonder who these guys are. They walked up to me and they introduced themselves, and he says, I'm Pastor Rick D'Amato, Liberty Baptist Church here in Helena. This is the assistant pastor, Brother Class. Do you have a minute?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes." He says, "If you were to die today, do you know where you'd go?" I said, "Well, I'd probably go to heaven." He said, "Well, aren't you sure about that?" I says, "Well, to get that out of the Bible?" I says, "Well, I'm a Mormon." And they kind of held back a smile like, "Yeah, you're pretty good. Coffee in one hand, cigarette in the other. You're a good example of Mormonism, you know." Thinker. He says, "So you think you'd go to heaven if you were to die right now?" I says, "Well, I don't done any taxes. I ain't killed nobody. I'm not wanted by the FBI. You know what I mean?" He says, "Let me show you something." He says, "Let me ask you one question. Have you ever..." "Oh, yeah." "He, for all have sinned and come short to the glory of God." He says, "There's no sin." He says, "Are these your kids?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, we could get our kids up and take them to church if you'd allow us to." I said, "Well, let's find out if they want to." And I believe the oldest one was probably 6. And the next one was around 5 and then 3, you know, 4. So they were all pretty close together in age. So I called them over and I told them about it. And they said, "Yeah, we'd like to go, Dad. Can we go? Can we go, please?" I said, "Sure." So we got to talking. And found out, you know, about 9:15 or so in the morning, the bus would be there. Would I have the kids ready? I said, "I sure will." So that night, I got the kids all bathed up and got the clean clothes ready for them and everything. And they invited me, but that bus was there. Be with my kids, and I'm invited to church. I turned it down. Morning, they were just so happy. It was like Christmas morning. They all had a little Bible. Dad, you should have been there. Dad, oh, they're so nice. Dad, this is, we learned, you know, and that's, man. So I get a phone call the next Friday. That'll be fine. They'll be ready. Anyhow, they rode the bus. Again, I was in, because I told them, I think I'm going to go to church today. Do you want to ride with me or do you want to take the bus? So I'm sitting there at the house. I'm going, you know something? I am independent norms. I'm going to go. You shouldn't be doing this, Patrick. You know better. You know what I mean? But I says, no, I'm going. They were friendly. Pickup truck, and I drove to church. Friends. They weren't my brothers. They were Baptists. But they were friendly. So I sat down in a pew, and for the first time in my life, I heard the word preached from the Bible. Not cries, no threats. Preaching. Sincere. And I noticed the pastor, because I didn't know where First Chronicles were, versus First Corinthians. You know, I never read the Bible in my life. Turned to this passage, he'd look over at me, and when I found it, I had to go through my, he'd start out, find out what page that was on, and, you know, right away. This man is being polite, you know. And you talk about being under conviction, the wonderful songs they sang, the hymns, you know. Nobody knows what tomorrow might bring. You might, you never know. I was cows around, fixing fence, breaking horses. I'm in pretty good shape. So, seek ye the Lord while he is the day of salvation. Today's the day of salvation, and that hammered on me. And church got out, and kids are going to ride the bus. That hammered on me. You know, tomorrow, nobody knows what tomorrow might bring. You just don't know. Life is but, you know, here today, gone, you know, just done. I mean, just that's quick. Man, if I got hit by a truck or a car, man, I'm going to burn. And, you know, I'm scared now. You know what I mean? It's wearing on me. My mind is a fool, wouldn't, you know? So anyhow, to make a long story short, taking my truck, get there again, hear that wonderful preaching out of that Bible. I had no idea, you know, your subconscious. I mean, it's just that battle going on in you. And I'm a sinner. I couldn't let go of that pew. For some reason, I had a desk. Anyhow, another week of conviction. I'm over that Wednesday night, and they were visiting. Now, my wife, she went in the bedroom. She didn't talk about sin. We're talking about salvation. What gets you to heaven? Religion will send you to hell. Salvation. What else religions out there? So they're walking me through Mormonism. When you're baptized as a Mormon, now you're cleansed. Now you did by heaven. Now you're a Mormon. Long, and I go to church, and these people were just people. I know them now, but I don't. Still on the outs. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. Up dirt. Heard that preaching, and I'm standing up, and I stepped out in the aisle. Now, I do not know whatever it was. Could have been a fast walk. But all I know is from point A to the bus, I bumped into him. I ran into him. I couldn't stop. Handsome Italian man. And there wasn't a thing out of place. You can shave on it. I'm to wipe his shoes off. He says, never mind that. What are you here for? I says, I got to get her. He says, well, all you got to do is just get down there on your knees. And you know, on the Lord, he knows your heart. He knows what you got to do. Just realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior. When I got up, he grabbed me, stopped me, and he turned me around. I realized I was a sinner and I needed a Savior, so I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. He says, what's next? And I looked at him and I said, what? A baptism. I go, yeah, baptism. I want to be baptized immediately, if not sooner. Baptized, you know. And he says, well, how do you feel? And I'm looking out at them. They weren't strangers anymore. There was a calm. There, you know what I mean? Unreal. But I felt relieved. I felt great. Packed. When I was in the Marines, in the infantry, I had a field and everything. And when you got to where you were supposed to be and you took your pack off and everything, you felt so relieved that burden is off your back. This was a greater feeling than that ever. Man, I'm born again. Now I can get hit by a truck. And if I'm killed, fears were. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fear of death was gone. But the one thing, I mean, the things that my senses were, the greens were greener, advanced, that looked brighter, cleaner. The blues were bluer and the yellows were yellower. I noticed it in the church, you know, I really, but I can smell them lilacs. I mean, it was like a light came on. I was more sensitive. And so I don't. Was if I heard the Lord's name in vain, that is a very dangerous thing to use the Lord thy God's name in vain. So please don't. I'm saved. I'm saved. And it's time to. And I'm. Canada, capital city. And there must have been. Five stoplights go through. Five intersections with lights. I don't remember stopping. I don't remember a thing. Now, I don't know what I was thinking, but all I know is that I conscious me, and she goes, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. I'm saved. I'm born again. And I showed her scripture. And she goes, well, I don't care. I got to worry about them now. Got to get them saved. I don't care what they think. So my kids came home. They heard the news. And they all gave me a hug. My wife, she went to church. Took her a while, but then she got saved. What introduced us as, this is my first Mormon family. And I led to the Lord. 2 weeks later. So I'd like to share with you this thought. I mean, this fact. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If I wouldn't have went to that church holding the word in my hand, I wouldn't have got saved probably. Hearing the word of God convicted me, got me to thinking, got me scared. So I want to say this to everybody. But we're all, there's nobody here that's sinless. I love each and every one of you people here at Cornerstone. You've encouraged a wonderful place to be. Yep. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name is written Cornerstone Baptist Church Directory. I am a member of a church that Jesus Christ died for. Yep. So I just want to thank you all for the encouragement you are, the fine example you set, the wonderful testimony you have, and just the love you show for me and with me and show for each other. I love each and every one of you, and I'm glad I'm born again. Yep.
We love you, brother.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Patrick. Yeah, we appreciate you, brother. We love you, and we're so glad that you came to our church and became a member. Amen. And where they came from and what they went through and how long it took for someone to get saved. And it sounds like, you know, about three of him, and then I'll have the Pedersons come on up. But let's go ahead and turn to 8. Stand if you can. 840, what a day that'll be. What there is come, no more day. When the heartache shall come, is to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day that will be, when my Jesus, the one I'll see, upon his, and he takes me by the hand, and leads me through the promise. Will be, I love the second, here we go. There'll be no sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting with the one who died for me. What a day, what a day that will be, when by Jesus, the one who saved me by his grace, when he tells this land, what a day. Glorious day that
man.
Hey man, you may be seated. No more burdens, no more sickness, no more pain. We're done.
Say, Lord, man, some good stuff right there.
To go to work tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have some music on Wednesday, so we found another music leader.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So if you guys,
thanks, brother. Thank you. Yeah.
We're going to give our personal testimonies, and then we're going to give our testimony how God has saved, but what God continues to do. He doesn't just wind us up, now you're saved, wind us up, and then you know go on your own. He walks with us, he talks with us, and just Patrick's. Thank you for that testimony, brother. But also reminds me, you know, the Bible says, we all come from, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. But we all from Nebraska, different routes to meet him. I grew up in Western Nebraska, used to be, and my mom, we went to the Methodist church. Now, the Methodist used to be very staunch in preaching the gospel, and a lot of our history was the circuit rider preachers, different my that. But grew up in Western Nebraska. My mom and dad went to different, I was heaven, and stepdad went to different churches. So we were religious, head junior acolyte, you know, my church, and going through confirmation and things like that. And I don't have a great testimony like Patrick, but they had a remember of him who played his guitar and gave the gospel. I think I was 13. I just going back to my bed that night, we remember, I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. And I was going to go to hell. So I cried out, and that's when I look at that I got saved. Things like that, saved. You know, I don't remember the color of the carpet. I don't even remember his name. Confirmation class, and I tell people, hey, I got saved. Oh, great. Yeah. And that was it. I was saved, but I didn't have... So go through high school, you know, still is a, definitely didn't know anything about the King James Bible. It was just a Bible. And, you know, but God was working on my heart. I knew I had a relationship with God. I went to, then did all that training. I could still feel God guiding me and directing me. It wasn't until, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but it wasn't until 14 years later, finally got into a church that preached the truth. And I realized that I needed to be baptized. Pastor also. He went Mennonite Brethren, and he keeps getting closer to baptism enough. And we try to explain why, you know, biblical baptism. dating a lot of people. But then my wife's going to give her testimony, and we'll see how, show you how the Lord guide and lead and direct and bless if you trust in Him.
I grew up in a religious home, priest. So I was a preacher's kid, but I wasn't saved. And for those of you who don't know, the Episcopal Church is the church of King Henry VIII, and the priests can get married. It's kind of like the Catholic Church, except there's no Pope, and I grew up in a religious. So again, I was a preacher. The doors were open. I went to confession on Saturdays, but I couldn't go to confession to my dad, Catholic priest, to say confession. And I went through catechism, and I got confirmed, and I was actually, and that's how I grew up, with a hope of heaven. If you're good enough, then you get to go to heaven. And so I was always wondering, but I always wondered, is this enough? So after I graduated from high school, I enlisted active duty, and I was in Pensacola, Florida, at the Naval Air Station. Always told me growing up to avoid the Bible thumper churches. West Pensacola Baptist person that I was, that's where I went. I went in any kind of church like that. It was so foreign to me. And it was a fairly large church, and it was packed. And first Sunday that I went in there, I kind of sat toward them, ended up at the back of the church, and everybody was filtering through just like they do here. And I had to wait my turn, and when I got to the door, he grabbed my hand. What he was talking about, no idea at all, never had heard of that, but I knew that there were no, and so he let me go. But they had a very active visitation program. Single Tuesday night, it was either the pastor or a deacon was there every single Tuesday night, and it got to the point where I would clean my house just because I knew they were coming. So I attended this church for probably about 6 months. I started going to an adult Sunday school class. I was fairly young. I was maybe, I was 21. So I went to this adult Sunday school class, and I was away from my family, and it was a military town, and the Sunday school teacher and his wife took me under their wing. They invited me to their house. I became essentially a member of their family. And they made sure that I heard the gospel all the time. But I had been raised in such a religious home, and it had been ingrained in me. And again, my dad warned me about these Bible thumpers. I just couldn't accept it. I just couldn't accept that it was so easy. So that went on for about 6 months, and they kept on after me, and eventually I realized that there was no hope outside of Jesus. And that it didn't matter how religious I was and how good I was, that I could not do it on my own. And so I came to an understanding that I needed a Savior, and the Savior was Jesus. And so I went on a Sunday night. I knew that Sunday afternoon, I can't remember what the message was Sunday morning, but it must have been powerful, because I was in turmoil all afternoon. I was under conviction, and I knew what I needed to do. And I sat in the very last row. I was so afraid. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie The Matrix, but you know when the guy goes like this? During the invitation, that's what the pastor did. He stood up there, and he looked directly in my eyes, way at the back of the auditorium. He looked at me, and he did this. And so I stepped out, and my knees turned to jelly, and the aisle grew. It just kind of extended, and it was just such a difficult walk because I was so scared. So I made my way up there, and I heard him distinctly say, amen, amen, because he knew, and I knew what I was about to do. And so I told him that I was ready to be saved. And at that point, I'd heard the sinner's prayer so many times because they had really been working on me. But that time, I said it, and I meant it. I meant what I said. And I accepted Christ as my Savior that night. And then the very next Sunday night, I was scripturally baptized. And then I realized that I was going to have a chat with my earthly dad and let him know what I did. And I was so afraid at that point because I thought that he would be angry with me. At the time, he was a missionary in Okinawa, and I called him. And I told him that I had gotten saved, that I had accepted Christ as my personal savior, and he was overjoyed. He just was so supportive and so excited that I was serving the Lord. And it actually strengthened our relationship. So that's my testimony. You can take over again from here.
And that, again, you know, everybody's testimony is different. We were both serving in Germany after Desert Storm in 1991. Came back, and I had made the decision at that point, I want to get married. Because it was very lonely coming back. You know, you see all the parades and everything, you know, on TV. I came back to an empty house because I was living by myself in Germany. And then I was like, you know, it's time for me to get married. And unbeknownst to... she can tell hers side of the story.
So I was in Germany also at the time, and I had been single a very long time, and I had reached the point where I had just released the whole idea of marriage to the Lord and said, you know what, Lord, I'm not doing very well in the dating department. I had really dated a bunch of losers, and I knew that I couldn't do that myself either, and I just reached the point where I realized that I needed the Lord to direct me in that area. And if it meant that I needed to be single, that I would be willing to do that. So I prayed that prayer, and I said, Lord, I'm willing to accept your will for my life in this area. If you want me to be single, I'm willing to serve you in that way. But if you want me to be married, you're going to have to send him my way, because I'm not a very good... decision maker when it comes to that. And so I prayed specifically for a godly Christian husband.
And I was praying for a godly wife. And we didn't know this until after actually we got married, because we found out she had prayed that and I had prayed that, and about within a month to 2 months we met. And the Lord worked some things out. You know, the Lord uses the devil, and at this point he uses another slimy lieutenant to bring us together. But then we met, and we dated in Germany, and then eventually got married. And you know, Lord worked all of that out, because I was able to be, I'd already done 3 years in Europe, went back, and the Lord worked it out that I could get back to Europe. And then we got married, and we were looking for a church. And a lot of the chapels in Germany, we went to this one chapel. The first time they talked about youth group. Well, we need more youth. Well, we're looking around. There was nobody young than us in that church. Well, yeah, you needed more. But then they needed money. And so we heard about, we need more people, we need more money. And we're like, that's not really where we want to be. So that worked for me driving in our neighborhood. So I asked them the next work week. I said, hey, I saw you on Sunday. I know you don't live here. What were you doing? He goes, well, I was going to church. I'm like, okay, where is that? Kate had been in a King James church before, and I had not. And it was a missionary to the military in Germany who had a small Bible church in Germany. So he invited me, and we went. And I remember the first Sunday, it was good preaching. It was truth. Was preaching. I'd never heard stuff like that before. And so as we're driving home, I turned I said, what is the rapture? I had never heard of that before. Oh, you got saved. I'd never been taught. I got saved and went back to the Methodist church. It's like, oh, how much I was supposed to give, but never heard of that. So, you know, we started growing from there. And again, I got baptized in a jacuzzi. In this church. So the Lord kept working on us, and I felt that the Lord would want us to, would want me to get, learn more about him and maybe go into the ministry. And you got to understand, that was a big decision for me, because I was a 20-year career guy. And so I dropped, you know, I told her that. What if I got out and went into the ministry and then picked her jaw up off the floor? you know, because she was shocked. And then I was a company commander, and we were out in the field. And if you had anything to do with the military, you know, you want to know where you're going to the States. And I knew I wanted to learn more. Well, there was only two places that I knew of good King James Bible believing. That was, at the time, Pensacola Bible Institute down in Pensacola. And Treasure Valley Baptist had a Bible Institute. Well, it just so happened, again, you're saying all this to show how the Lord works. The assistant pastor, Matt Burchard from Treasure Valley Baptist, had his pastor said, you need to go to the mission field and visit one of our missionaries. Well, guess what church he showed up at? Our church. Right. And that's how I learned about the Bible Institute. So I did everything I can. I was calling Fort Knox, the assignment officer. Look, can you get me here? Can you get me there? No, 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 no. Okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, it's in your hands. So, again, we're about less than a month out of rotating, and that's pretty scary because you don't know where you're going. So I called my assignments officer, and I said, hey, can you get me out west? Because our family are out west. You know, my wife's family's from Spokane. Mine's in Nebraska. Can you get us anywhere out west? And I remember this day. He said, well, an assignment just opened up in Boise, Idaho. Would you like to go there? Now, I'd been trying to do this for a month. And I said, don't put it in pencil, put it in pen.
And then he called me.
And then I called her, and I said, pack your bags, we're going to Boise. So the Lord brought us back there. And Pastor went to their Bible Institute, and as we started going through there, in fact, Treasure Valley Baptist Church. So we met Pastor Garcia in 1996 when we came from Germany. Well, as we're going through the Bible Institute, I figured, you know, Lord, I want to learn more. I'd go into the chaplaincy. You know, I was a major in the Army at the time. I'd go into the chaplain, be a chaplain, because they need it. Amen? So I got off of active duty and told my wife, I'm going to get off active duty. Now, she hasn't been on active duty, had gotten off. That cut our income in half. I got off active duty, cut our income to zero. And I said, we're going to, I needed a master's degree in theology, a divinity degree, to be a chaplain. So I said, we're going to go to Baptist Bible College at the time, at the graduate school. And I said, let's pack our bags and go to Missouri.
We pray. So I put the house on the market, and not sure what we're going to do, but the house sold within just a few weeks. And we packed everything into the minivan, because at the time, the kids were small. We had three kids, and we pretty much sold everything we could, packed everything into the minivan, and drove out to Springfield, Missouri. We didn't know where we were going to live. We didn't know what job he was going to have. We just said, okay, Lord, you want us to go here, so here we go. And we went out there, and we were driving around. We had no idea where we would live again. We went to the college, and they did have student housing, but only if you had no more than two children, and we had three. So we knew we couldn't live on the campus, and we had to find a place to live. Again, no job, no church, didn't know anything about the area. We drove around, and we saw all these. Every now and then, we would see a scripture sign in somebody's yard. And we thought, well, that's pretty neat. And they were all King James scripture signs. So we passed this house, and we stopped and we walked up and knocked on the door. And we told the lady that answered who we were and what we were doing, and she invited us to her church. And she actually invited my husband to stay there with. She and her husband had a family there, and he stayed in their home. I went back up to my brother-in-law's house until we found a place. And within a week or so, we had arranged at their church so that we could stay in their missionary apartment. So that's where we stayed until we found a place to live. And that was about, what, a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So we did all of that on faith because, again, we knew no one. We didn't have a job. We didn't know where we were going to live. God just did all of that for us. And so we were there for about 3 years. Well, Stan went to seminary. When we first got there, he got a job managing a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he was working, and that, I mean, constantly working, and going to grad school, and he also had to do certain ministry things for requirements for the program. He had to be, so 7 days a week, he was working, and he was just exhausted. He was wearing himself out. And I finally said, you know, I've got a degree, I could work. And so we made the decision that I would work and he would go to school. And the college had a daycare center, Christian daycare center. We put the little ones in there. And so I got a job as the director of HR for a region of Air Products and Chemicals, which is a big corporation. And I had to travel quite a bit. And so he went to school and he took care of the kids and he cooked and he did the things that usually mom does. But we got through.
Greater appreciation for my wife.
And after about three or four years, about the time that he was going to graduate, my company was, and so I knew about it because I was in HR. Nobody else knew, but I had to decide who got chopped and who didn't. That was my job. I had to decide. And so we had agreed that when he graduated, that I would only work long enough to get him through seminary, and that was it. But there was a lot of temptation because my company kept promoting me and kept promoting me, and there was a lot of temptation for me to want to stay a working woman. But we had made this agreement, and I really, in my heart, I wanted to be back home with my babies anyway. I ended up, the short story is that I ended up getting a severance package. And that allowed us to go into small church ministry. We moved up to Northern. You want to tell that part of it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the severance package allowed us to get up there and not have any financial concerns for a year.
So the Lord directed us not into the chaplaincy, but into small church ministry. So I was praying, Lord, we'd like to go north. Well, you got to be specific sometimes because the Lord moved us to northern Missouri. Okay, northern Missouri. And pastored there. And just an example of how the Lord works in your lives, we had more month than money. Anybody ever have one of those times? Mortgage was due in 3 days. And I was a tent-making pastor. I was working plumbing. 3 days before the mortgage was due, we got a check in the mail that had been mailed the previous week for the mortgage plus. It was somebody from Boise that we knew that said, the Lord laid you on our heart.
We hadn't told anybody but the Lord.
Yeah, we hadn't told anybody. We hadn't sent out prayer letters or anything like that. We were just praying fervently, and the Lord gave us that check. It had been mailed a week before. And that was such a blessing that God does provide. You know, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply what? All your needs. Sometimes the wants, but the needs. So he works through that. So I pastored in Missouri. Then that led us out to Cody, Wyoming. Pastored a church out in Cody, and there's multiple stories with that work outside of Cody. And do you want to relay that one?
So,
and I got ordained in Cody also, so that was a blessing, yeah. A blessing too on that.
We, Lord led us to plant a work, and so we found an old, this is in Wyoming, congregation, we had nothing, so Wyoming, and so we found this one-room schoolhouse, old house, no plumbing, they did have an outhouse.
Five holes.
And we met there. Because a lot of people had to drive, we would have Sunday school and Sunday morning service, the afternoon and luncheon. Everyone brought food, and then immediately after that, but those lunches really brought the people together, and we became very close, and we had because we told them, that's how your grandparents did it, so this is what we're going to do. None of them had a problem with it. Actually, we moved into the Seventh-day Adventist building.
Because $1 a month. And they only had one service on Saturday, if you know anything about Seventh-day, only $5 a month. And God provided. for that. I went over to Iraq and Afghanistan. I was a logistical officer, and I was recruited in North Carolina. It's Fort Liberty. The Army has spent millions of dollars in renaming all the, anybody remember, bases, just so you know. But went there in 2010. I went there. I deployed down there. Went to Iraq in 2000. After about 5 years, God worked through all that. And officer, what do you do? What's your next move? We were active in our church, and Lord, and have us to go. And again, we kind of looked out here because of her family and my jobs, prioritized them. 75 jobs. So it's very easy. But I put Boise, there was one job assignment in Boise, Idaho, that I...
In all of Idaho.
And I did get it. And I even called the guy and I said, you know, was there... How you got this job? And I said, well, I do. So, National Guard as the State Inspector General. And then it came time to retire, because if I didn't retire, you retire, yes. But I was young enough, I needed another job. And I was wringing my hands, fretting, what do I do?
So I have for 3 different Christian schools. I'm an educator, and I was positioned for a junior ROTC instructor for the Boise School District. And I told him, you qualify for this job, why don't you apply? And he said, no, I don't think I could do that.
The guy had been there 21 years in that position. I went down on Tuesday, talked with him, ended up spending for 2.5 hours, we were swapping stories. That was on Tuesday. On Thursday night, he calls me up and he says, do you want the job? I hadn't even applied for it yet. And I said, yeah, I think I'd like that job. He goes, you apply, you will get the job. So I went from fretting, wringing my hands, what do I do now, within a week of, okay, now I know what I'm doing next. And the Lord worked it out. I couldn't retire for 9 months, because that's just the way the Army works. The Lord worked it out where that guy stayed in that job for 9 months, exactly. And then I took over the position. Amen. And then this past summer, we decided I needed to step away from that job. I did over 300 hours. You know, she was like, I never see you. I never see you. And it was just affecting a lot of things. So we prayed about it this last spring, and the Lord opened the door for us to come up here. Heard me ask for employment. We're building a house north of here, up by Gary, and we're waiting on the job for him to provide. And I know this has been kind of long, but I just want to encourage you that, you know, take your Bibles. I know we'll get some scripture tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, you're going to go sit down. yeah, well, I just want to, and I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to end with this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. What does it say? All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I hope you do, but you've called me to this. You've directed me to this. You got to work it out, God. It was even existed before she found it. And it was the God that opened it up. He decided to in the mail. We didn't tell anybody. God knew. And he provided. And what do I do? I pray that's what you do, is acknowledge him, because I know in all our lives there's sometimes, oh, I want to be pleasing unto you. Acknowledge him. God, I want to honor you. I want to do your will. I want to be. And he will direct your path. Amen.
It's good to hear their testimony, but it's also good to hear how it actually all came together for them to be. Amen. That's great. I love that. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's go ahead and stand. We'll end up closing these two. Sing 562. Hold on, we're 562. Stand just as I am without one plea. If the Lord's been working on your heart tonight, come to the altar. Come talk to him. If you need to get saved tonight, I'm here to show you from God's word how to get saved. Amen. Amen. 562.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou wilt. as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cloud I come. God, O Lamb, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting out, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hey, man, I love these nights. These are great. Pastor says it all the time. It's so good to hear testimonies of